back to God, and they're going to say, God is, you're right here, like, you're right where God wants you. Like, God made you just the way he wants you to be. So, yeah, like, tacky stuff that you've heard before, but it's true. It's so true, and you hear it all the time because that's how true it is. And God just loves you the way you are. And, like the church is the ark, like I said, and what was, Noah's Ark was a safe haven away from the flood. And right now, guys, we're in the flood. Like, we're in it. I don't know if you realize it or not, but it's like every time you turn on the TV or you turn on the radio, there's just bad things on there all the time. We're in the middle of the flood, and the church is like, I'm here, I'm the ark, and I want to help you. And stay in here, and I will keep you safe from the flood. Like, don't go out. Don't jump off the boat. Don't try to swim, because you're not going to make it. So that's the moral of the book. So I love to bake. And so last weekend was Mother's Day, and so it's my last Mother's Day at home before I go away to school, so I wanted to make it really special. So I go downstairs, and it's like really early in the morning, and I make this big red velvet cake, and it's like, it's legit. Like, it's one of those where you have the icing in between the layers of the cake, and it's like cream cheese icing, and it's so good. And I'm really, really excited, and like, I woke up super early to do this, and I'm not a morning person. So I go upstairs, and I'm like, Mom, I just made you this wonderful red velvet cake. And I was like, Sarah, it's 9 in the morning. I don't want your cake. And I don't like red velvet cake, okay? I like yellow cake, and I like yellow cake with chocolate icing. I don't want your stinking cake. Okay, just kidding. That actually didn't happen. No, my mom's too nice for that to happen. But God's like, I made you this big red velvet cake with cream cheese icing, and we're like, I don't want it. Like, we nitpick everything. I'm too fat. I'm not muscular enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not whatever. And God's like, but I made you a cake. Like, I got up early to make you this cake, and I'm giving you this cake. No, God, get away. I don't want your stinking cake. And like, that's what we do to him. And he's like, but I made you, and I love you, and you're wonderful, and like, why don't you see how wonderful you are? And where are we at? Okay, so Christ has given us this wonderful life, and Christ went so far as to give us his life. Like, if a gunman were to come down here right now and like point a gun at you, and somebody were to jump in front and take the bullet, you would be like forever indebted to that person. Okay? Jesus was hated, spat upon, mocked at, whipped, beat, imprisoned, bled, and died for us. Okay, so not only did he take the bullet for us, but he was tortured first, and we still want more. Like, we don't want our red velvet cake, we want a yellow cake. And that's not okay. You know, if somebody were to take the bullet for you, you'd be like, oh, whatever. People wouldn't be okay with that. That would be like social suicide. Like, what are you talking about? Somebody just died for you, and you're not gonna thank them and thank their family for all that they did for us? And this man, who didn't even have a chance at like dying happily in his old age, like, he knew he was gonna die, but he did it anyway. And he could have taken that pain away. He didn't have to go through that, but he did it anyway. And like, and I include myself in this, like, we take advantage of it, and we don't really appreciate the great gift and this great life that God has given us. So we are all here for a purpose, parents and confirmation students. Even if you don't want to be here, and even if you'd rather be at home, like, watching TV or whatever the case may be, like, God called you here for a reason. And be open to that. If you haven't been open to that reason yet, like, open up to it now. And maybe something in my talk's not going to touch your heart, and that's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. But think about the other talks. Think about what happened last night. And by the way, I'm really sorry I wasn't here last night. Feel bad, but my brother was graduating. I had to be there. Just think about that, and think about, why did God call me here? And, you know, even the speakers and even me, God wants us here for a reason. Why does he want us here? And if you haven't figured that out, like, do that, because he wants you here, and he wants to touch you, but he can't touch you unless you know why he wants you here. So every breath we take in is supposed to glorify God. And whenever the priest gets ready to read the gospel, what we do this. Maybe more like we just hurry. But what you're supposed to say whenever you do that is, God bless my mind, my lips, and my heart. And I just want you guys to think, like, who do you glorify with those things? Again, I'm just as guilty as the next person of thinking bad things, having lustful thoughts, hateful thoughts. saying bad words, feeling hatred towards people or envy or whatever the case may be. And those things aren't of God. So whenever we do that, it's like a lie. It's like, yeah, God, bless my mind, my lips, and my heart that I don't actually use for you because I don't want to. And, you know, God wants you to come back to that. Like, something that I always say whenever I do my talks is, I know the Mass can become really repetitive. And, I mean, there's a reason for why it is that way. But really think about what you're saying. Because whenever you say the Our Father slowly and, like, you take your time, just those two first words, Our Father, it's just mind-blowing. Like, that there's somebody who's greater and bigger and better than us, but he still loves us and all our crappiness and all the bad things we do. And just those two words alone can bring about a whole new meaning if you just slow down and take your time and look into the Mass, like, and look into the parts of the Mass and look into why we do the things we do in the Mass, because I can promise you, it's not going to be ordinary anymore whenever you see why we do what we do and the different symbolisms that are in the Mass. But that's one thing, definitely think about. God, bless my mind, my lips, and my heart. So Christ really just wants us to see what a gift we are to him. And I feel like I've already been shoving this down your throat, but I'm just going to keep going at it. he loves us so much. And he wouldn't have made us, okay, like, story time. My sister just had a baby last weekend, and, like, I'm super, super excited. And when she was pregnant with the baby, like, the whole time I just kept thinking, I knit you in your mother's womb. Like, God handcrafted us. He handmade us. And I don't know, maybe some of you guys are aunts and uncles, or you will be someday. But whenever your sibling's pregnant, like, it's so different from anybody else being pregnant, because it's, like, a part of you. Like, that baby's a part of you, and it's really weird and mysterious and great, and it's all from God, but it's fantastic. But it's like he knit that baby in her womb, and this little baby who's 1 week and 2 days old, he already has a purpose for this baby and what this baby's going to do in the great plan and the great scheme of things. And I think that's just really, really fantastic. So through this gift of confirmation, you are taking the amen that your parents made for you whenever you were a little baby or whenever you got baptized, and you're making it your own amen. And, like, that's serious stuff. You know, it's not just, oh, I don't want to be here, I don't want to do this. Like, this is serious, serious stuff. People have died for the Eucharist. Like, you guys were telling me your confirmation names, and you're like, oh, I don't really know what they did, but they were a martyr. A martyr means they died. They died for the faith. They died for the Eucharist. And, like, we don't even want to go to church on Sundays. So just think about, like, if you don't know what your confirmation saint did, look them up, because I'm sure more than likely they were a martyr or they lived their life for God the whole way through. And they glorified God the whole time that they were in their lives. What I really, really want you to understand from this talk is that God is ravished by a single glance from you. Like, imagine what happens whenever you talk to him. He's probably, like, swooning up there. He's like, oh, myself. Oh, myself. They are talking to me. This doesn't happen. Like, he's so excited whenever we talk to him. Like, he loves it. And a good place to start is just to talk to him about your day. Like, yeah, I had kind of a crappy day today, but, you know, this happened. Like, you don't even if you don't realize that it's a prayer, it's still a prayer, because God's going to make it a prayer whether you want him to or not. So my little challenge for you is to let Christ in and let Christ do spring cleaning in your hearts. It's really, really important that you get scrubbed down before you go in for this confirmation. Because, like I said, it's not to be taken lightly. It's a sacrament. It's a big deal. It's something, it's a once in a lifetime chance. And I know some of you guys are young, and I'm really not that much older than you, but, you know, when I went through confirmation, my confirmation retreat was really crappy. Like, I'm pretty sure we watched Shrek and we had a scavenger hunt. Like, I don't even know what the purpose of it was, but that's what we did. And you guys have such a gift in Father Beke. Like, I am so jealous of you guys because I miss him so much. You have such a gift in him, and he is always going to be there. I mean, he lives an hour and a half away from me. He's always telling me, if you need anything, call me, text me, email me, which I do, and he never treats me like I'm a burden, and you guys are right there with him. Take advantage of that, because it's really hard to find a priest as wonderful and as into their vocation as Father Beke is. And I can see some of you guys have amazing parents who are here with you. Like, I'm sure they'd much rather be at home. Like, I don't want to be here right now. Like, I'd rather be at home. But I'm here because I love you guys. Like, I don't know you, but because we're all part of Christ's church and Christ's body, like, I love you. And I would lay down my life for you. And I'm sure that every single person in this room would do the same thing. And like, whenever you guys walked in here, I'm sure you didn't know anybody except for your parents and the people you're getting confirmed with. But look at all these people. This wasn't just, we just came here and we're like, oh, okay, let's have this. Like, this was planning and meetings and writing talks and praying for you guys. And as the whole universal church, like, we all love you and, like, we all love each other. And we're all here and we're all on this journey together and we're all here for a purpose. And so through this confirmation, you're like, yes, amen, God. I want to be part of this great big universal church in a whole new way and whole new light because I love you and I love the people that you have put for me. So I was going to do like semi-spontaneous prayer that wasn't really spontaneous, but I had a better idea. I don't know, you guys had confession, maybe? Yes, I'm assuming with Father Becca, okay. And if you guys didn't go to that, like, yeah, do that. That's definitely a good thing. And if you did go, don't be like, oh, well, I just went because seriously, the Pope goes to confession every day. Okay, so no excuses, go. But get one of those examination of conscience sheets and look over it and really think about it and really think about the things that you need to be spring clean in your heart and that you need Jesus just to come in and scrub down, take the garbage out, because he will be more than willing to do that. But he's not going to come in unless you invite him. Like, he's not like the Holy Spirit. Like, the Holy Spirit, he'll just kick the door down. Like, okay, I'm in. I'm in. But Jesus is completely and utterly different. Like, feel your heart right now. Like, feel your heart. You know where in Revelation it says, I'm at the door. I stand at the door and I knock. There he is, guys. There he is. He's knocking. Just let him in because he is dying. Literally and figuratively, to be in your lives. And he just loves you so much, and he wants you. And you guys are going to be great Catholics, and I'm so excited. Okay.